Did you want to, Rob? Did you want to do anything?
Which one did you want me to
You want to
mention,
mention?
Dave?
Oh, shall we just mention what we have coming up, or do you want to do that? No.
Yeah, perfect. Tomorrow, the 30 things with the author Bill Schaeberg will be here. And loving someone means acting as if their happiness is important to you. And that is at 12 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow and 4 p.m. UK time. So remember the time, please.
Thank you, Rob. And we have the month of the writing the big book, The Creation of AI. Jim has kicked no one better than Jim to start it off for us. Jim, as you just heard, a new light on old stories. Next week, we have an interview with Mr. Sheberg. And then we have Tom of AI History Lovers going to do a presentation for us. So we're going from history only to history lovers. And then we're going to watch Sheberg YouTube presentation, Bill Wilson's Vision and the Ever-Changing Plan. And we will have the transcript hopefully finished by then to send as a PDF if you want it. And then we have a panel at the end of the month, the 29th, with Bill Cleveland. They all said yes. The minute I asked them, they all said yes. Joe Chisholm, yes. Joan Barton, yes. And Penny P straight in, going to finish off the month for us. But now we're back to Jim Worley. Jim, that was, I have to say, that's just wonderful. I just feel so uplifted having listened to that. Having been with you on this journey for the last 4.5 years, it's just a delight, an absolute delight. George D, please come in.
Yeah, Jim, thanks so much. That was a wonderful presentation.
Thank you.
I just had last week 40-year birthday, and
Oh.
when I came in Arizona, thank you. I met an old timer who had sobered up in L.A. and started some of the first L.A. groups. He probably had 40 years in. So you're talking about close to the beginning of the program. And I would go over to his apartment, and he had a lot of AA stuff. And I'm originally from Cleveland. And he said, "Oh, that's where the first AA meetings were." And I had read the book. No, they were in Akron. And I said, "No, they were in Akron." And he said, "No, they weren't, because in Akron, they were still reading passages from the Bible. And in Cleveland, they stopped that, and it looks like more of an AA meeting we have today." So I don't know if that's bias, BS, something he came across, just like you were talking about these. I never spread that because I didn't know, he had no hard facts, but I just found that interesting that he told me. And I wonder in your bumping around if you've ever heard anybody or writing say anything like that.
Absolutely. In Cleveland, Clarence Snyder there in Cleveland, he claimed he was a founder of AA because of that. What happened was in 1937, New York broke away from the Oxford Group, and they started having meetings in Bill's house. And they were just a quote unquote a nameless group of drunks. And in Akron, they were Oxford Group meetings. Until December of 1939. And so, yeah, they were Oxford Group meetings. What Clarence did was he broke away from the Akron Oxford Group meetings and he told Dr. Bob, he said, "We're going to start our own meetings and we're going to call our meetings an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting after the book that just came out." So, officially, it was the first meeting that was called an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And the other meetings were there, but they didn't take the name exactly. And Clarence was the first one in May 11th, I guess, 39, that they had their first meeting there in Cleveland, and they called their group a group of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so that was the first meeting with the name Alcoholics Anonymous. And because of that, Clarence always claimed that he was a founder of AA.
Well, thank you so much. I never spread that around. So for the next 40 years, I can spread that around, right?
There you go. Thank
Okay.
you, George.
A day at a
Thanks.
time, of course, George. A day at a time, you must do it. Thank you, George. We're going to Dave B.
Yeah, well, I was just going to ask about that because I was reading the book here, it says, the other day I was just looking at this and it was. This is the fourth edition of the big book,
the basic text for Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was wondering where, you know, the first name came out of that, the group, and where did, you know, you just said that, Clarence, or the group, the meeting was Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's because this is the basic text for Alcoholics Anonymous, even though it was named Alcoholics Anonymous. But yeah, that was interesting. And great, great share, you know, great stuff there, Jim. Appreciate it. Thank you, Dave. Yep.
Jim, no. We got Bill Lyons with us, Jim.
Pardon?
We've got Bill Lyons in the house. Hello, Bill.
Oh, there's Bill.
Hello, everybody. Thank you, Jim. Excellent presentation, as usual. two-part question, I guess. I happened to be in a library one day and just went to the card catalog or the computer and punched in Alcoholics Anonymous. What books do you have about Alcoholics Anonymous? And this book, Writing the Big Book, pops up. And I go, what the heck is that? Never heard of that book, you know? so what I'm wondering is, first part is, were you always interested in AA history? And second part, where actually did you first come upon Bill Schaeberg and this book? Where did you first hear about that?
Oh, thank you. I got sober in Cancun, Mexico. Most people don't come to Cancun to get sober. On the contrary. But anyway, we had a little group, and ever since I just read everything that was in the bookcase, and I read Pass It On, and I read, Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, and I liked all that. And in those days, I listened to a lot of Chuck C. and Clancy tapes, and that was about all there was, you know, back in 89, you know, when I got sober. But I've always been interested in AA history, and I liked it. I got more seriously interested in it around, I don't know, maybe 2000. What got me into it was one day I was passing along some incorrect information and somebody corrected me. Well, I don't like to be corrected. I know that's, you know, unheard of for an alcoholic, but anyway, I don't like to be corrected. So I got, you know, into investigating. And that time, you know, the internet was good. I was on the internet a lot, and I started investigating and searching and gathering information. And I like pictures. You know, we're a very, you know, visual culture now, and collecting pictures and stories. And through the years, somewhere around, I found out about the AA History Symposiums. I didn't go to the first one. I think it was the second one I went to. I think it was 2016 or 2017, 2016. And Bill Schaeberg was there, and he did a presentation on the co-founder who drank, about Hank Parkhurst. And there were some other great people there, of course, Arthur and just lots of great historians and other people. And I, you know, I was just really hooked on it, and went back the next year to that symposium, and just got more and more involved into it. But that was when I first met Bill Schaeberg, was there at that symposium, A History Symposium in Sedona. And then it wasn't really, I don't really know, I just heard through the grapevine, you know, there in 2019, that there's a new book that's coming out called Writing the Big Book. Oh, yeah, there's Glenn and Arthur. You know, they're in Sedona. That's actually in Sedona. And Glenn on the left and Arthur on the right. And just you know, hanging around these people is just was just a wonderful thing. And breathing in AA history and research and people sharing, and you know, it's just a wonderful thing. And then I found out about I got this flyer, and somebody said, you know, hey, there's a book launch. And so I went up, and it was great. You know, Gary was there with his book, King Charles of New York. And I do hear that that's second edition is coming up soon. Drunks with Chris Finan, a great book also. And met Bill Shaber again in person, bought my book and got it signed. And, you know, and while I was up there, I got a great tour of the New Jersey landmarks, which was really good by our great New Jersey archivist and historian. And then a trip to Stepping Stones, you know, was just a great, great weekend. And, but I came back and just started reading the book, you know, from cover to cover, just so fascinating. What has been good over the years, we read it six times, David. Was it six times we read it?
Five times, yeah. Five. Oh no, you have me confused. Those are six times. You're right.
Six times, yeah. Right. And we would get together there on Saturdays or Sundays, and a bunch of us, many of you are here, you know, at least for one time. But every time I would read the book, I'd find some new gem, some new detail, some new thing I didn't like, or I wanted to research more of, or I have never run into to anyone like Bill Shaberg, who has been so open and willing to help, you know, someone in just in a search for real AA history, you know, what really happened. You know, doesn't make any difference where the information comes from, you know, and you know, the fact that we read this all together, of course, reading it out loud is completely different from reading it by yourself. Reading it out loud and then having Bill there virtually all the time for Q&A afterwards, and answering questions and details, and you know, it has just done so much for AA history in general, you know, using you know, primary documents and the conclusions, you know, again, not everybody connects the dots in the same way, you know, and you know, there are people who still don't, you know, who think, well, I don't care what Bill says. I still don't think Hank wrote to employers, or, you know, I'm still not convinced on that six step deal. And, you know, there are things that, you know, the thing that I look at in myself is when I have these doubts about something that's being said, yeah, doing research is just fine, but not just looking for what confirms my bias, what confirms what I already believe, but looking, somebody suggested, actually, one suggestion is that you try to prove yourself wrong, you know, is a good way to do things. You know, if you believe something so strongly, try to prove yourself wrong. But we all have our biases and our beliefs, and, but keeping an open mind as much as we can, but being around historians and like Bill, like I said, he has been so open, so sharing, with all the information. And, you know, I asked him permission, probably years ago now, you know, to, because I share and copy his work a lot and share it on AA History Only and with other people and in my presentations, because I know it's good documented history. So I that was kind of a rambling answer, but I hope, you know, that it's just been wonderful. And like Bill mentioned just now, you know, this Zoom thing, you know, has just brought so many of us together from all around the world that that we can share and learn from each other. And, you know, great historians and people that have their particular specialties, you know, if I want something, I know something about New Jersey, then I go to, you know, John B. or George, or, you know, a couple of people, or, you know, if, you know, Boston has its own guru for AA history, and, you know, so many great people, you know, with so much knowledge and all willing to share, you know, because whether we're in a meeting sharing or sharing AA history, we're sharing, and that's important.
Just one other thing about your presentations over the years. I've noticed your progress from just words to words and pictures to today, I believe, the first animations, GIFs.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. I always try to be very visual with them, and pictures and movement, and you know, at least try to get people not to go fall asleep. And yeah, some movement in the GIFs and you know, just anything, you know, to make it more interesting, because, you know, if we just read something, we retain about 5% of the information. You know, if we, you know, and if we read and hear something, you know, then we retain 10%. You know, if we're sharing it with other people, you know, or teaching it to other people, then we actually learn, you know, much more. And the more visuals, the more senses involved in the presentation, the more chance that people will remember the information that's presented. So keep it interesting. Thank you, Bill.
Bill, so Jim, how do you get 12 ounces into a 6 ounce bag? How do you continuously do
it? I don't know. I actually, this presentation was a typical example. I put it all together, and then I was in bed one night, you know, and that's when my brain seems to work overtime. And I thought, well, I need to include, I know there's this neat phrase, you know, or I just need to add one more slide that talks about confirmation bias, or, you know, I need a neat picture about this, or I, you know, and pretty soon the you know, 50-minute presentation, you know, turned into a 1 hour presentation. And that was only after the fact that I went in and hid, you know, about 25 slides that I had come up with new, you know, after I did the presentation, you know. So try to keep the most interesting things, but yeah, always trying to do too much sometimes.
Well, hopefully you're going to go around and do this with a lot more groups. It's just tremendous. That is so informative, and seriously, that is just incredible.
Thank you.
Modern, so mod, so hip, you know, it really is avant-garde. Let's go to Joe R in Aberdeen.
Hey, thank you. And Bill, what a fantastic, I mean, Jim, what a fantastic presentation. And I thank you for all your work. And I follow you on Facebook as well. And I thoroughly enjoy that. I had a question in your presentation. You screenshotted Bill's, I don't know if it's his first draft or his second draft, where you mentioned four steps.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Was that the incomplete second draft, the one that is, in other words, it's missing parts of the end parts of the story?
Yeah.
Is that the one you presented? Okay.
Yes. If you, I think in general, you can find, if you put Bill's story original version into Google. I think it.
I actually have it, and then took the time to get rid of the line numbers and correct some of the
numbers.
So that
Great story. You know, great story.
Yeah, and it almost seems like as if he was trying to write the entire big book into his story.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because there's parts where we agnostics and parts of there's a solution. Yeah, I found that a fascinating perspective. My question is, though, you mentioned four steps, and obviously the document is missing the latter part. Is it possible there were more steps in his original story? And has Dr. Bob, so two-part question, has Dr. Bob ever mentioned any of the steps he took or steps that he conveyed to sponsees? Thank you.
In the first part, I think I don't remember which appendix it is, but it's called Bill's Stories. In the back, there are several versions of Bill's stories. Like the Stepping Stones versions, and so there are different ones that are different, and they end up with you know, it was either lost or never produced. So, you know, maybe more will be revealed, like Lois's missing, you know, diary pages or whatever, but up to now, you know, who knows? That maybe there were more steps. We do know that by the time he whittled it down, instead of starting when I was 10 years old, my parents agreed to disagree, to, you know, starting when he was a soldier, and to the end, virtually all of the steps, I think we can count 10 or 9 or 10 anyway, that are actually in his story, the way it is in the big book. Those are the four that he mentions, and some of them are very interesting, particularly the one that uses the word abandon. That section sounds like it could possibly be a rough draft of the third step prayer. You know, it talks about abandon and surrendering our life over to the will of But the direction, you know. But anyway, excuse me. Chapter 7, and then I think there's an appendix where all of the stories are actually included. As far as Dr. Bob said, I didn't have anything to do with the 12 steps, with writing them. And he said maybe in some small way when we were sitting around talking in those early days, you know, some of the ideas maybe came up. So maybe I helped contribute to some of them. But he said I had nothing to do with writing the big steps, the 12 steps of the big book. And, you know, even later on talked about, I think the four absolutes are still a good yardstick for measuring this. As far as I know, Dr. Bob didn't use the steps that much. I have never found anything that talks about, except Earl's story, you know, in the second edition, and that talks about Dr. Bob sitting down and taking people through the steps as such. And of course, even that language, take people through the steps, that's our language. That's Joe and Charlie language, you know, from the 80s and on. You know, what happened back there in the flying blind period was just trying to get people sober and, you know, reading devotionals and the Bible and the Oxford group practices and literature and as far as taking people through the steps, I really don't think that. In fact, you know, Akron in general Well, the Midwest, Akron in general, didn't care all that much for the big book to begin with. They didn't do that much to help and support it. Of course, Cleveland did a little bit more than Akron. But, you know, the Akronites, as early as 1942, and we have to realize that when something's written down, that means it was happening way before then. You know, so in 1942 is probably when the Akron Manual, for example, was published. But and that pretty much tells us what was going on in Akron in those years, and what Dr. Bob and his group were doing and teaching people. And Dr. Bob didn't think the big book was good for blue denim people, so they came up with this pamphlet. You know, that's a little. It was probably the Living Sober of their day. You know, if you want to use that analogy, it's more of a, you know, how to stay sober and pass along the message more than a direction of how to do the steps and how to work the steps. So, but yeah, Akron, Dr. Bob, not a whole lot. Of course, in Cleveland, they did use the big book. They named their group after the big book. Clarence, you know, I don't know as far as how much he actually used the big book. Again, the non-alkies were probably more enthusiastic. His wife, well, at the time, you know, Dorothy and Anne, they got the manuscript, you know, and they sat up till all hours of the night reading it and getting excited and enthusiastic. And there are no stories of, you know, the early members staying up late to read the manuscript. You know, they weren't interested very much in the big book. Again, you know, Akron thought it was a big money-making deal for Bill and he was going to get rich. So they were kind of negative on that. Not sure if that answered the question.
Yes, very clearly. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Maureen, before I go to Maureen, Jim, on the day that Plain Language of the Big Book has been, I believe, published today.
Today, yeah, it's available.
Not in the UK. I've been told it's in the UK. I can't get in the UK until December 10th, is telling me here on the thing. But, Jim, on the day that it's being published, what say you about that going forward?
Before we about go the Plain Language book?
And the change and the new people, the new vista that's happening within Alcoholics Anonymous.
I prefer to stick to history, but you know, when we get into our own opinions, that's when things happen. But you know, I think that AA changes. We talked about the change and why, as human beings, we don't like it. Our brain doesn't like it. It's protecting us from change. And we just don't like it, you know, and there's a lot to it. Now, there are, Bill said, the promoters and the conservatives, you know, and he said, we're always going to have those people around us. And, you know, the conservatives help us from going too fast, you know, us promoters from going too fast. And, you know, a lot of things have been nothing. It's not to compare AA to the Catholic Church, but, you know, things sure happen slowly. If they happen at all, you know, and sometimes we think, you know, it took Bill Wilson, you know him, it took him 10 years to get something changed. From 1955 to 1965, he fought to have the ratio of the trustees changed from having the non-alcoholics having the majority to the alcoholics having the majority. He fought and he struggled and he argued and he bitched and complained and sledgehammer tactics, and you know, he did all, and it took him 10 years. So, you know, I guess if it takes us a little while, we can understand, you know, just as human beings. Well, you know, we say that we don't like change, but actually we don't like change that we don't like. You know, if somebody gives me a raise or I find a new romantic interest, or, you know, there are a lot of, somebody gives me a new car, you know, there's some changes that I like. You know, so, but if it disagrees with what my bias is, what my beliefs are, what my sponsor told me, what I've been, the stories I have been hearing for years, are telling me, then all of a sudden something new comes up. I'm going to, as we saw today, you know, there are all kinds of things that, you know, belief, perseverance, and confirmation bias, and you know, just all kinds of things that keep us from jumping ahead too fast. You know, I think that this plain language big book has been coming for many years. It's been argued and cussed and discussed, you know, for years, and you know, so it finally happened. And, you know, and it came out, and guess what? It's a conference approved book. And boy, you know, and the people who swear by conference approved literature, you know, of course, they only approve of conference approved literature that they approve of. And, you know, like, well, living sober, you know, people hate it. Some people hate it, you know. Well, how can that be conference approved? And there are people who do not like at all the 12 and 12. You know, the only book I need is the big book. And Bill got that information straight from God. And this is all I need to stay sober. And guess what? They stay sober, you know. And there were two groups in Little Rock, yeah, Arkansas, that early on, and both of them were writing to Bill all the time. This other group is doing it wrong, you know, and they were pointing fingers at each other, and they were, everything was wrong about the other group, and Bill finally, you know, he answered him back, but he said, the only thing we can answer is, the only thing we can ask them is, are they staying sober? If they're staying sober, that's all we need to know. How are they staying sober? And if you know anything about history, and most of you do here, know a lot about those early days, especially the 40s, you know, I mean, we did everything wrong. We broke every tradition. We screwed up everything. We had publicity. We, you know, the Little Red Riding Hood and the Big Bad Wolf, you know, we did everything wrong. And yet people stayed sober and AA kept going. And here we are, and we're still screwing things up sometimes with Little Red Riding Hood and the Big Bad Wolf, and breaking anonymity and doing all these things. And here we are. And, you know, the old Bob Pearson, you know, speech about rigidity is a big problem, you know. And there's an old saying that one of the problems about an organization, if you have a small, relatively small organization, the benefits are that that you can change things quickly, and you can move quickly, and you can change things quickly. That's an advantage. And the disadvantage of that is that you can move things and change things quickly. You know, so changing things quickly can be an advantage or a disadvantage. And Bill said, he said, the only solution we have to the conservatives and the promoters like me is that we just have to keep rubbing these two together and see what happens, you know, and that's what we do. And that's what we do in the conference, and they come up with things. And, when all is said and done, and I say this, and I heard Ernie Kurtz on a recording, and he said, I'm not sure there is anything such as AA as a whole.
Wow.
And he said AA is a loose group of a loose association of autonomous groups. And that's what we are. And, you know, I know some groups that sure don't do things that I like, and they probably do things that they don't like. We do things that they don't like, and all kinds of, but each group is autonomous. We keep going. We stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. One alcoholic talking to another at a kitchen table. And that's the most important thing, you know, and the other things, you know, are secondary. And whether they publish or not a plain language book, AA is not going to fall apart. I'm just convinced of that. We've screwed up so much in the past, you know, and we're still here. You know, arguing over publishing a book or not is not gonna tear us apart, you know. So I don't know. Those are my thoughts on that. But yeah, it's available here in the States. I saw the link today, and so some people will like it, some people won't like it, and some people will use it with newcomers like Bill. Just took, you know, hey, you know, I tell the kitchen table story to a newcomer, you know, because that's a simple way of me sharing experience, strength, and hope, and saying, this is how AA started. One alcoholic talking to another.
So with the plain language big book being conference approved, is that a definition of cognitive dissonance for those who always approve conference approved literature?
Well, I don't know. I just presented those psychological
gymnastics
terms and things, but you know, if the shoe fits, you know, I I've got it, you know. I hear things that people say, and I don't like them. I mean, I don't have to even look at their research, you know. They say it and I don't like them. I don't like it. I don't know why we're doing this. And so I don't like them.
Messenger rather than the message. We kind of don't like the messenger rather than the message.
Yeah.
Great, Jim, it's great to have you. Let's go on to Maureen H, because I see Bob K has just jumped in there. So Maureen, hello.
Hi. As for the plain language book, it's a tool it's written at a fifth grade level. It's a tool for reading the big book. You know, if you don't use it, you know. But my question is, and I'm so sorry, my sponsor, I had to go to a meeting with my sponsor, so I missed your presentation. And I hope that you'll do it again. I'll listen to the recording, but I hope you'll do it for recovery speakers again, so I get to see it. But my question was that one of the Akron pamphlets that was from 1940 is a guide to the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I think it was their kind of I'm sure you're familiar with it.
Yes.
But it doesn't correlate, except for the 12 steps. It doesn't really correlate with what was said in the big book. It's their own take on the 12 steps. And that what I found interesting is that step 6 and step 8 have no descriptions.
Yeah, they're put together pretty much in the big book too. Like 8 and 9, you know, are kind of glopped together, you know, and 6 and 7, you know, they they're kind of together. Yeah, there's a pamphlet there on the 12 steps, and Cleveland put out a sponsorship pamphlet in 47, I think, something like that, about how to be a sponsor teach people the steps. Mostly they did classes. You know, it was not sit down with your sponsor and go through the book. It was, they did classes for newcomers and things like that to learn the steps, or somebody gave you a book and said, read this.
Oh, and the other thing I wanted to say, Jim, is that I've never met my sponsor in person. I've only ever talked to my sponsor on the phone or on Zoom. But, you know, I didn't get to AA into 2020. And I can't tell you how grateful I am to the internet for, look, I'm visiting with you from Cancun. And here I am in Oregon. And thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. And Bob Kay, has Jim Worley done enough to become a key player? Over to you, Bob Kay.
Yeah, thanks. Jim Worley, you outdid yourself today. I mean this sincerely. I sent Cousin David Kennedy a message about three quarters of the way through. And I said, this is brilliant. And it was brilliant. And, you know, the background history about history, and it was entertaining, the slide presentation and Lucille Ball sticking her tongue out. And, you know, I'm old enough to have seen that and not in reruns, like some other people here as well. But, yeah, it was brilliant job. I don't have a question. The only other thing I have to say is, you can see I had the Patrick O'Donnell haircut for a while. I looked great in a suit. People were coming up to me and offering me jobs. It was unbelievable. But women kept phoning me all hours of the day and night. I had to grow it back up, back out. Now I look like Shea Berg and everybody leaves me alone. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Okay, the Thursday history. Wonderful stuff. Gloria.
Gloria, good to see you.
Well, hi there. Jim, thank you so much. And I kind of look like the grunge look. So, you know, you're doing fine there. I was thinking about the dark ages. When I first got sober, I was involved with Philadelphia Intergroup. And I had, if I ever had an issue, they told me, well, write to them. Well, I wrote to Akron because I had been out there, and they kept the AA literature with all this religious literature. And I thought that was wrong. And actually, according to our traditions, it's not the right thing to do because it keeps people out. So anyway, I never got a response. I never got an answer to that. Again, a few years later, I wrote to General Service because they were using the last names of the speaker that they had at their yearly banquet. So I protested. Mm-hmm. And I never heard from them either. But I was just thinking about those early times and how, you know, even though we have our traditions, and I was really trying hard to, you know, to just do this thing right, you know, they didn't want to hear it, you know, and I thought they were our leadership. So it's just kind of interesting to me how we alcoholics really are. And I think you've pretty much nailed it. You know, there are a lot of contradictions in our presentation, not your presentation, but our presentation to the world and how we accept things or not accept things, even if we're presented with the facts. I personally am here just like you. I loved what you said. I'm here to pursue the truth. I love that. And you know what? I can take it now. I want to die with my eyes wide open. and with little or no stories, you know, untruths. I want to die with 2020 vision. So anyway, thanks again, Jim. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Gloria. Good to see you.
Wow, Gloria, that's beautiful. Thank you. Jim, we'll close this section if it's okay with you. Jim, we'll just go to you in one moment to close the meeting. But you are booked in for your Christmas deal with us, by the way. Just I know I might have told you this, but you are... I assumed you weren't, you haven't gone to anyone else on us, but
no, I haven't.
I have you booked in for January. I'm looking for the flyer there. I'm looking for the thing, but I don't. But I have you booked in for the two of them.
I'd like to change the New Year's one.
Oh, okay, Jim.
I have a nice presentation that I am doing for a special request for another group. In mid-December, and I like the presentation, and it's I would like to do that on the New Year's one. It's titled Bill Wilson's Spiritual Experiences.
Oh wow, we have to watch that. We go to Bob Mazzillo in 1 second. Jim, the 20 to 27 are not good, is it? Is the 27 not good? Christmas is around Wednesday or something.
Okay.
I'll come back to you. I'll send you an email.
Okay.
I'll send you an email. Bob, is it okay if we close? Do you want to ask Jim something quickly, or do you want to? You want to find out the room?
Do you want to ask the room? Close. No. That's Bob. I just want to thank Jim for all his knowledge and he's amazing, and if he wants to look more like Bob K, he's gonna have to get a little more up here. And for my room, Jim, I'm sort of partial to blue.
Okay.
Just for your information.
All right. Great.
That's Bob Mazzillo, and he does this fantastic calendar, history calendar, and you can get him at Kingpin. Rob has put in the chat, Kingpin, KINGPIN 2653 at email.com. Incredible.
By the way, I did put, somebody asked me, and I did put the link to the Plain Language Big Book into the chat. Yeah, you saw it? Oh, good, Rob.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yep.
All right. For anybody that's interested. I hardly believe that we get it before the UK heretics do. Usually we steal a lot of the good literature from the UK GSO and import it over here to the colonies, you know. But this time, you know, we get the one first. My goodness,
Rob, did you want to read what Jim put in the chat? Did you want to read it? Connection for anyone listening, where do we go and get the Plain Language Big Book, Jim? Or is that it?
I can't read it. What Jim put in was the link, and so I copied it and I put it in there too.
What's the name of the link? It's the online literature one, is that it?
Yeah, it's the onlineliterature.aa.org.
Brilliant. So you can get the information on that. Thank you for that. And just Bob has jumped. Bob. You've been sparked. Have you been sparked, Bob?
Yeah, about the Plain Language Big Book, I ordered a copy today about 3 p.m. And 2 hours later, I got a notice that it's on back order and I can cancel my order if I want. Now, that's in Canada. And someone else up here on the Plain Language Big Book Facebook page posted the same thing. So it's selling like hotcakes, I think.
Yeah, I saw on the Hazelden link, it said something like you can get it on, you know, pre-order or something like that, you know, but they didn't have it in stock. So
wow. Yeah, maybe they're counting those pre-orders against the 70,000.
Maybe, you know, but it must be selling, like you said, you know.
What I would say is, you know, people might consider going to the Kindle thing. I don't see that running out. So if somebody wants it quickly, so I think I might do it that way tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank you.
Jim, will you close the meeting in a manner of your choosing, sir? Thank you very
much. Sure. Just since we're talking about the kitchen table that maybe never happened, since we're talking about the kitchen table story that we all know and love and doubt sometimes, great story. And that after a few moments of, first of all, let me thank you, David, for inviting me and all of you for being here. And it was great. I'm glad you enjoyed the presentation. And after a moment of silence, we'll close with the responsibility pledge. Amen. Who is responsible?
I am
responsible. Anyone. When anyone, anywhere, reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Everybody.
Great.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Great presentation. Thank you, Rob. Thank you.